The church begins a season of Advent with human beings in search of God. Be assured, I do not mean this as a slight toward those who have set off this morning for King of Prussia Mall. Quite the opposite. I mention both in the same sentence because I'm taken with the coincidence between shoppers and supplicants. Both of us assume that what we seek, a present or a presence, is ours to find. Moreover, we share a common hope that the gift or the God we will find will have something to do with what will make us and those we love happy. Now, I'm willing to entertain the possibility that a season spent seeking in this way may lead you to find the perfect gift. However, I cannot say the same about this method of searching for the God who hides. Therefore, I want to spend the first Sunday of Advent doing business with our seeking and God's hiding, as well as with our hiding and God's seeking. Advent is a season when we wait and watch for the God known only in hiding, and yet the God who seeks us here and now. This is the season when we ready ourselves to do business with the paradox of the God who dwells in heaven's height, and yet the God who has pitched a tent in the flesh of our broken humanity. This is a season before the season when we proclaim the paradox of the God who is without image, and yet his glory we see in the face of Jesus Christ. In words which push human speech to the very edge of what words can say, like the words we read in Isaiah and Mark this morning, we will listen as the biblical witness reveals one God, ultimately unknowable and intimately known, transcendent above all and imminent in all. In these days hastening to the manger, the paradox of God's transcendence and God's imminence is the paradox of the God who hides and the God who seeks. As for our own hiding and seeking, we generally set out in search of a God who may be transcendent above all, but that is all. Because reason or science or philosophy dictates how we know what we know, the God of our minds can grasp, the God that our minds can grasp is often a God we imagine to be above it all and at a distance from our cries. I believe in a supreme being, we say, a greater power, a source of life, creator of the universe. As for our relationship with this transcendent being above the fray, well, there is nothing much to say in the light of day. But what about our darkest nights? When the notion of a supreme being does not avail. In our darkest nights, the idea of a God places us in the hands, or rather places us beyond the hand, of a being who, to borrow Isaiah's words, looks down from heaven, from God's holy and glorious habitation, but is powerless to help. Therefore, in extremis, as the Israelites were in extremis, and as actually the people Mark addressed in his gospel were in extremis after the second destruction of the temple in 70 AD, in extremis, we demand that God come down, that God enter human. Mark's gospel, the kingdom of God, the reign of God comes near in him as unclean spirits are exorcised, the sick cured, lepers cleansed, sinners forgiven, 5,000 fed, a storm stilled, and the dead raised. But God's seeking does not change the fact that the God who is revealed is still the God who hides. First in the manger, and then on a cross. Luther, in particular, was right, Karl Barth writes, when he interpreted the swaddling clothes and the manger as the holy scripture of the Old Testament, in which Christ was revealed, but revealed in concealment. Revelation, he goes on, never has a recognizable form. Its wisdom and power can never be proved. Its triumph is never apparent. Its success is not tangible. And its benefits not for immediate enjoyment. Because this is not the God we were seeking, we substitute the God who hides in places we would just as soon avoid, for the God we can domesticate within us. That's what Brian was talking about last Sunday. Here's the thing, Alice Walker Shook says, the thing I believe. God is inside you and inside everybody else. You come into the world with God, but only them that search for it inside find it. Biblical witness has nothing to do with either the notion of a God far removed or a God deep inside. in mangers and on crosses, in bread and wine, among publicans and sinners, who hides in the alto section on Thursday night, as well as the Salvation Army's tolling bell at Pathmark, among the women coaxing beauty out of cut flowers in the kitchen on Saturday, and the children growing vegetables on the front lawn in the summer for guests at Face to Face in Germantown, in the upper room at Campbell's, where community takes hold, in the basement of West Kensington Ministry, where hope is born of sawdust, in Widener Hall, surrounded by souls shot, and at the Kimmel, as Christian Marcellero conducts Handel's Messiah. We are people on the lookout for the high and holy God who hides among us until Christ comes again. Therefore, my friends, keep awake. For simply everything you do and everyone you meet just may be the means God is using to seek you. Maybe your closest glimpse of God from highest heaven, who is pitching a tent with you. Maybe God's messenger sending you even unto Bethlehem to see God hiding in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, until Christ comes again. How strange, Karl Barth concludes, for the swaddling clothes and the manger speak of segregation, poverty, oppression, and need. Who would look there for the wonder that God in the highest and mortals on earth have really and truly become one? Maybe by the end of Advent, we will. Let us pray. God of the small, the subtle, the unimportant, God of the vague, the dark, the ambiguous, open our hearts to your coming. Open our eyes to the little signs, our ears to the soft murmurs. Slow us down to listen and hear. Keep us low to look and see. Awaken us to the losses that are blessings, to the wounds that are openings, to the weaknesses that are empty mangers. Wake us from the stupor of busyness, the days of desire, to witness your drawing near, to behold your presence, hidden in this ordinary moment, this feeble prayer, this meeting.